Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday afternoon, final hour for us, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes. The wild card weekend now in the books. All six games over. Rams beat the Vikings last night. We'll talk about that and start looking ahead to this weekend as well. Also, the coaching carousel and what the Falcons may do at defensive coordinator. Brandon Adams going to join us from Dog Nation Daily. Talk some Georgia football, talk a little Carson Beck and the way that all played out. Get his thoughts on the upcoming national championship game as well. And we'll get to an AMA at 140 to wrap things up.
It's always crazy, like, end of the year when, because obviously the Steelers, a lot of stuff about them right now because they're having their end of the year media availability. Some guys, Micah Fitzpatrick, I don't want to say anything bad. Justin Fields declines. Russ comes out. I would like to be back. I think it's reciprocated.
Right.
And then all the bad stuff. George Pickens showed up an hour and a half before the game when Mike wants him there too. Like, that's the kind of stuff that starts coming out when stuff starts going. You ain't never hear about the Steelers. Now, again, I played with Steelers when the Steelers were the Steelers.
Right.
When they were complete for Super Bowls and all that stuff. Them were the wildest fools in the league. The Steelers players, they were all cool, but them fools were wild. All right? They were wild as hell, and all of them know that. But the thing about it was, they won.
Yeah.
And you ain't hear none of it. Yeah. You ain't nothing about it. You ain't nothing.
They're in the AFC Championship.
They're in the AFC Championship. Or they're going to Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl.
Yeah, because you said that's all that matters is winning.
Yeah.
But now this whole thing with Mike Tomlin, now you hear all this other stuff that never – like, they were the wildest dudes that, but they would come into your town and kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then stay in your city afterwards. You know what I mean?
And take their shirts off.
And take their shirts off.
Dance around the club.
These were wildest dudes ever in life. You know, and I love hanging out with them.
Yeah, they sound –
Yeah.
Just your brief description during that break, I was like, those guys sound like the most fun to hang out with ever.
They were the wildest dudes ever.
Because you said if they didn't win, if they won, they would get to stay in the city the night after and go wild, go to whatever the best club is.
You went out to South Beach after the Steelers came and beat our ass in Miami, and they all in the club.
What if they won in a terrible city? Like, what if they won in Green Bay? Then what happens?
They'll fire some dude.
Figure it out.
They'll go to Milwaukee.
Okay.
They'll go to Milwaukee or something.
All right.
Yeah,
so
man.
They'll find the nearest fun.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's what's the thing. Like, that when you talk about the winning aspect of it and then the nitpicking about every little thing that would – if you were winning, it wouldn't bother.
That's right.
And so, when we go back to what you were talking about as far as here with this team as the Falcons are interviewing defensive coordinators, it don't matter who they hire. That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, everybody has their preference, and most of it is a preference with a name.
Right.
Yeah, I probably don't know too much about it. There's some people that, and I would never take credit from people who know football, but sometimes it's all about name.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, well, he runs this type of defense. Well, when he ran that type of defense, who are his players?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying Robert Saleh is not a good damn defensive coordinator, but look at the dudes he had on that defense.
Look at the guys who played
for
San Francisco.
You know what I mean?
Wink Martindale
had
some good years and some not great years.
Yeah.
Look at who played for him when he was the defensive coordinator there. Lou Anarumo is available to be interviewed right now.
Yes.
Because the guys that were on the defense and went to the Super Bowl are not there anymore.
Yes.
And that's not his fault. He's not the general manager.
And so you always got to look at it from that standpoint when we talk about the scheme or you talk about the guy. Look at who they had when their defense was good. Because I don't care who you are, especially in this freaking league, in the NFL, it's hard to overcome talent if it's on either side of the football where you don't have. It's hard as hell to out-coach or overcoach that.
Right.
It just is.
Yep.
It is. And so, somebody just tweeted, man, that's why I brought that up. I don't care what scheme he runs. I don't care what his base is. If you don't have the players, it's not going to matter who it is.
Right.
So that goes back to the GM. Get the right guys.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Get the right guys.
There's a reason why we've been having this conversation. I mean, how many different guys? We can go back previous to the Terry Fontenot era. Like, again, this is going to be the fourth defensive coordinator in 5 years for various different reasons. We can go back further than that, too. Like, Dan Quinn's having a takeover mid-season because now the buck stops with me and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, Marquand Manuel was the DC back in 17 when they actually had a really good defense. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all these different names. The ones that had success were the ones that had the best players.
Yep.
The reason we've been talking about this turnstile at defensive coordinator is because they haven't drafted well. They haven't signed well. When they have had pretty decent guys, they haven't retained them. Mm-hmm. And when they've gone out and spent money on guys, the guys haven't performed when they've come here.
Yeah, so, and my biggest thing with especially on the defensive side in the NFL, give me a veteran defensive coordinator all the time.
Sure.
Give me one all the time. I would take a veteran defensive coordinator all the time. Now, there could be some guys that was a linebacker coach and be a good player because obviously they all start somewhere. They don't come into the league as a DC.
Right.
They probably was a D-line coach or a linebacker. Give me a veteran Wink Martindale, Dean Pease, Wade Phillips, old, grimy, just mean-ass defensive coach.
Doesn't it feel like
give me one of them.
All the defensive
with
coordinators
players.
Are that
with
now?
Play, yes,
like
with players.
You got the young, like cool 36-year-old with his hair spiked up offensive coordinator, wears tight pants and has a hot girlfriend, like he's the hot candidate. Yeah. And then all the defensive coordinators are like your uncle.
Got grandkids.
Like, yeah, right.
Yeah, grandkids be at practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me one of them dudes.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Exactly. If your defensive coordinator's not a grandpa, I don't want
him. Yeah.
What's Wink Martindale's family situation?
Wink's in his 60s.
He's got two kids. I don't know if they've got kids.
Yeah.
We got to look into it.
Yeah, but I'm trying to say, man, give me an old grizzled
What's
veteran.
What's Lou Anarumo's family looking like?
Give me a veteran.
He's got three kids. I don't know if they got kids. Jimmy Lake, not old enough to be a grandpa.
Yeah, man, give me some.
That's his problem.
Just give me some grizzled, like, just cuss your ass out for no reason. You should be like, what's wrong with this old ass dude? Yeah. Because for the most part, that's what those are the coordinators that I came up
exactly.
with. Exactly. Yeah.
I want my defensive coordinator grumpy. And chewing tobacco.
Yes.
I want my offensive coordinator
drinking tea
and driving like a Tesla or something like that. You know what I mean? That's what I want. That's who we need.
Yeah.
Okay? You need the young, whatever, eating like me. You want your defensive coordinator to you want your offensive coordinator to look like me.
Yeah.
Okay? You want your defensive coordinator to look like John Fricke. That's what we're talking about. Okay? That's what we're asking for. If you don't have Air Monarchs with grass stains on them, I don't want you. Get out of here. All right. Let's get to the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Darnold balls out. Picked up by Verse. Off to the races. And gone for the touchdown.
That was, who was that? Was that Kyron?
No, that was Jared Verse.
That was Jared
Verse. Yeah.
That was a scoop and score.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a. That
the touchdown of Kyron was so sweet because he snuck out there. Matt Stafford's reset, finds him, touchdown.
Yeah, man.
But
hell of a win last night for the Rams. Dominant from beginning to end, 27-9. Vikings are done. 14-3.
Yeah, man.
And to be out and beaten like that. And don't look now, but Sean McVay is still alive in the playoffs.
I'll tell you this. First of all, and we said on the air, that crowd last night.
Yeah, really impressive.
For that game to be moved,
yeah.
I mean, that crowd was unbelievable. And obviously, we know about what happened out in L.A. and good for them, you know, paying tribute and everything. Good for, you know, Bidwell doing something nice because he made them, I'm talking about the Rams, made them at home. Obviously, you know, that's a difficult situation, but obviously he opened the door and everything for them. So kudos to them and the Arizona Cardinals organization. But, yeah, they just beat the hell out of Sam Darnold. Like nine sacks.
Six in the first half.
Yes.
That was the most since, like, 1991 as far back as stats go.
Was it the most ever, like, minus yardage as far as sack yardage?
Yeah.
I think it was.
A lot of those big sacks,
ever,
too.
You know, and so you get in there, you're covering O'Connell. Do I have a play for – 2nd and 27,
right?
You know, and stuff like that, man. But yeah, it was a total domination by the Rams. When they're healthy, they are a problem. They are one of those teams, and we talked about the iterations of this team when they got from St. Louis to L.A. And it was, you know, what about then? It was blank those damn picks, and let me get all these big time veterans. Let's win a Super Bowl. Okay, we're gonna have a couple down years. Let's see if we can stack the deck again while still being competitive. Okay, we've hit on our last three draft classes. So if you look at the 22 starters on the 22 starters, hell, what is it, like 14 of them are draft picks from the Rams, their own draft picks?
Yeah, and not first-round
draft
picks.
And not first-round
draft
picks. So, I mean, they've hit on all their twos, threes,
fours, fives.
They've hit on them, and it's not like they hit on them to a point where they're not playing sparingly. No, these are starters, and these are impact damn players. So, I mean, Staff can play a couple more years.
He does. Yeah.
You got that.
And we're coming into this year talking about, like, who knows with the way his arm is
body
and all that.
And all,
like,
yeah.
Now when he's healthy, and obviously that's the key to it, and that whole team in general, when they're healthy, they're really good. And you know, I know the Eagles are really talented, and that game's in Philadelphia. They're favored by 6, all that on Sunday. I don't know. Don't count the Rams out. Mm-mm. They're tough. They're a rough football team. Now, you look at the final 8 teams that remain in the playoffs. Obviously, there's a lot of different similarities that these teams have, but they all feel real good about their quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, Jaden Daniels, obviously they feel great about that in his rookie season. Goff, Stafford, Hurts, and then Lamar and Josh Allen.
The biggest thing with all those teams, maybe outside of the Chiefs, they can all run the football. Mm-hmm. They can all run the hell out of the football if they need to. And that's going to be, you know, in my opinion, what's going to come down to what team can run the ball better in a lot of these games. And then, you know, and then you put it on the Eagles. I mean, sorry, you put on the Chiefs. It's all about 15. And their offensive line, can they protect this dude, man? Because that's going to be the whole key for them. They're rested. They're, you know, healthy, all of, as they can be. Can they protect Pat? Can they protect him in these playoff games? Because they got the Texans. What did the Texans do? They rushed the hell out the pass.
They did. They made Herbert completely uncomfortable.
They rushed the hell out of it. Now, I don't think Pat's going to sit there like Justin Herbert did for whatever reason. I'm like, dude, go.
You're athletic.
Go.
Break the pocket.
Go.
Go run.
But yeah,
get some yards.
I don't think that's going to be the case. But if they can't protect, it'll be a long day for
them. You brought this up yesterday off the air. It feels like forever since we've seen the Chiefs play, like the actual Chiefs.
Because they didn't play.
And all year, outside of a couple performances, it was like skin of their teeth wins. Everybody just expects them to flip the switch, right?
Yep.
Like it just all starts on Saturday.
Because 15.
It's great. Even the
15
Texans,
and Andy Reid.
The Texans win a playoff game, they still have to play the first game on Saturday.
Yes.
They're playing the damn Dynasty Chiefs.
The defending Super Bowl champions.
And they still have to play the first game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Texans just, that's where you play.
Yeah.
Sorry, Houston, that's where you play.
Maybe that's when Houston people are watching TV.
Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know. Maybe that's what I'll get.
They know more than we do. So there must be a good reason to put them first game on Saturday every time.
Yeah, but I will. They get busy. I'm just, those dudes rush the hell out of that passer, man.
Yeah.
And they got confidence, and maybe that's the one thing that C.J. Stroud, because the biggest thing for the Texans is, for the interior protection stinks. And damn it, if the best interior pass rusher in the league ain't on the Chiefs team.
Chris Jones, pretty good. This is also the time of year where he just starts to be Darth Vader.
Yep. Oh, God.
And just destroys everybody.
Let me find me one. Ah, there he is.
Who's the guy?
The right guard. All right. Come on, buddy.
Brandon Adams is going to join us next. We'll talk some college football with him. Georgia Bulldogs, of course. National championship game less than a week away. We'll get his thoughts on all of it. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from the AMA to wrap the show up here on a Tuesday. Any question, any topic, we'll get the phone lines open. This hour is brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Important time of year to have reliable heating and air because it's pretty cold out there.
It's chilly.
Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Brandon Adams joins us on Tuesdays at this time, Dog Nation Daily podcast host. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. BA, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well, too.
Doing well. Obviously, been talking a bit about the semifinal games Thursday and Friday and looking ahead to the national championship game coming up on Monday. We'll get to that in just a minute. But interested to get your perspective on the Carson Beck kind of saga now that it's sort of come to a bit of an end, certainly from the Georgia perspective it has. And we talked last week about him, but not knowing what exactly he was going to do next. Didn't even know he was going to not go to the NFL. Now that it's played out the way that it has, and he's transferring to Miami, and the money is rumored to be what it is, like what's your kind of overall take on the way that this went down?
Well, I think the money has to be a part of this. Even though in college sports we don't have on-the-record confirmation the way we obviously do in professional sports where all the contracts are, you know, just, you know, they are basically widely known. We have this for coaches for the most part, but not yet for players. But it's been reported that it's, what, $3, $4 million, you know, in that range. So I don't think you can talk about Beck without the context of the money because, obviously, Carson Beck is a good player. Not a great player, I don't think, at least based on performance, but a good player. But the question you would ask is, okay, well, good at what price? And I think for Georgia a year ago, you know, they were content to invest pretty heavily in Beck. And at times, I think you were really glad to have Carson Beck as your quarterback the last couple of years. But at the price that Georgia probably did pay for him in 2024, would have had to maybe pay for him in 2025, I think from that standpoint, probably both sides are ready for a fresh start. Clearly, if you're Carson, you can't turn down this kind of money. Right. And if you're Georgia, given the results you got with him this year, I think you'd be pretty foolish to spend that big after the results from the season.
Do you think there was the door was open for him to come back to Georgia?
I mean, phrasing it that way is sort of hard because, I mean, I don't think that Georgia would have rejected him in all situations. I don't think that's probably true. But I also don't think Georgia was necessarily, at least based on, you know, people that you talk to or whatever, was necessarily looking to, you know, find out how much they'd have to negotiate, you know, like, you know, how high their bid would have to go. I think that Georgia likes Gunnar Stockton. I think it liked Carson Beck, too. I think they thought Carson was going to the NFL, and so they were kind of happy to turn the page here. So I don't think it's probably as cut and dry of, you know, hey, Georgia told Carson Beck to kick rocks. But I also don't think this is one of those things where Georgia necessarily begged him to stay either, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I mean, it feels like a pretty complicated situation. It's obviously a totally new situation just because of the landscape of college football. But I don't know. I just felt like the way that Stockton was kind of reported on and talked about and some of the quotes about him leading into the Notre Dame game and then the way that this has gone down with Carson Beck, I don't know. It seems like you can read into it that there were some people that maybe weren't that unhappy that Carson Beck wasn't going to be back.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And the one thing I tried to caution about going into the Sugar Bowl is that college football is not a morality play. And so, like, people want, because Beck's on social media a lot, like the TikTok videos, and because he drove the Lamborghini, kind of like the 80s movie where, like, the rich kid gets, you know, his sort of, like, you know, deserved fate at the end of the movie, and the sort of the good kid who drives the old pickup truck kind of gets the girl or something like that. Like, you know, that's not necessarily how college football is going to work out. Now, I do think that Gunnar Stockton's a good player, but I thought some of the, well, Gunnar's so great because there are certain aspects of Beck's personality that are slightly annoying. But I thought some of that was probably overstated.
I agree.
No
I agree.
Doubt about it.
It would be very funny to me if Gunnar Stockton cashed in the F-150 for a Lamborghini.
Yes.
Now that he has all the money.
It would be so great.
People would be pretty mad.
It would be so great. It would be so great.
Huh. I guess it was more of an opportunity thing.
If he walked into the first day of spring practice wearing, like, shades.
Yes.
And, you know, just like that.
Just like an arm sleeve.
That would be pretty funny.
I get an arm sleeve. In a TikTok account and a Tesla.
People have to be walking back.
Oh my god, they would lose their damn.
I like a quarterback with a pickup truck.
And I know I'm not asking you for insight or anything on that, but as we get closer or further away from the games and everything like that, do you think there's any changes that are going to be made to the staff? I mean, you look at, and obviously we know who the guys or the people who people mainly want to be out, but from where you're sitting there, do you think there will be a change at all as far as any of the coaching hires or anything?
Well, keep this in mind that if something like that happens, it typically happens kind of February-ish, you know, like it'd still be pretty early for something like that to happen for Georgia. I don't think it's going to be Mike Bobo. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I think that through 2 years in the job, I think Bobo's been fine. I think he was pretty good in 2023. Offense probably not all that great in 2024, but Kirby Smart just won 2 national championships. The idea that he's got to humiliate his best friend and fire him, you know, 2 years after essentially an unprecedented feat of success, I don't think Kirby has to go there, nor do I think he wants to. Now, could somebody be gone? You know, perhaps there might be, you know, and who knows, maybe somebody wants to leave on their own accord anyway. But, you know, I would say there's a chance that maybe somebody leaves, and it'll probably be described as so-and-so is retiring or so-and-so wants to spend more time with your family or so-and-so, you know, whatever. I mean, like, Georgia has earned the right not to have to, you know, essentially sacrifice, you know, somebody to the gods because they didn't win the national championship. And I don't mean to be, you know, so blunt, but that's just the way that it goes. It's like, you know, obviously fans want to see somebody do something when a season doesn't end the way that you want it to. And I'm sensitive to that, too. I'm obviously a very big Georgia fan, but Georgia still won the SEC. And a year ago, they only lost one game by 3 points. So, you know, the idea that Georgia's in sort of the desperate situation where they have to, you know, completely emasculate somebody, I just don't think that's what they're going to do, although there is a chance that maybe somebody leaves.
No, I mean, it's all about track record and earned trust and all that. Like, the Falcons had to move on from Jimmy Lake because somebody had to be moved on from. Georgia didn't have to do that. There's also the flip side of things, too, where, like, I don't know about you, probably have more insight into this than I do and Randy does, but I don't think either one of us saw Fran Brown getting hired as the head coach at Syracuse last offseason. Right. Then he did and did a great job, and winners get washed, and one of the weird quotes of the whole year when he said up there. But like that, there's a possibility that there's just a coveted coach on the staff that we don't see coming that ends up getting a job too.
Yeah, there's always, you know, the possibility of that happening. And I mean, for now in college, it seems like most things are pretty, you know, fit, but who knows how some of the NFL, you know, coaching changes change and stuff like that. So I'd be on guard for something, but like the hottest name out there in terms of fan debate about Mike Bobo, I think that Bobo's probably going to come back for 2025, but I'll also acknowledge that just given the fact that the offense this year wasn't great, and I don't think that you can say it any other way, it wasn't, you know, always as good as it needed to be. Well, clearly you would come back with a little bit more of a need to upgrade performance in 2025, and I think that's probably fair to say.
You think about this game coming up next Monday, D. Obviously, we'll talk to you the day after the game. But as far as, you know, the prospects of, I mean, these are two big brands that are coming here to Atlanta, in Notre Dame and Ohio State, so I don't think that'll be a problem as far as a draw. What are some of your early initial thoughts about the game?
Well, I think it's cool that, like, for both these teams, like, defense is really still pretty important. I mean, Notre Dame's got a very good defense, as Georgia fans found out, and Ohio State has kind of, last couple of years, kind of gotten back to the business of defense after kind of being the thing that held them back for a couple of years. So both these defenses, I think, are really good. And in the case of Ohio State, when you look at, you know, dominating Tennessee, then kind of for the most part dominating Oregon, and then, you know, getting a win like they did against Texas, it's really hard to beat three teams of that caliber in fairly decisive fashion, essentially 3 weeks in a row. Like, that is a very hard thing for anybody to do. So Ohio State kind of comes in to this national championship game on a real heater here right now. And I think by perception, certainly the point spread would suggest that they're a good bit better than Notre Dame. And, you know, obviously Notre Dame has a way of kind of Riley Leonard magic or good defense, trying to find a way to keep it close. But the whole thing sort of feels like a referendum on Ohio State, which is, are they going to finish this off and sort of pay off on the early kind of, remember, like summertime, early 2024 hype that kind of built around them? Or are they going to just sort of finish off this playoff run and, you know, kind of show that they were able to shake off a really bad loss to Michigan? But as much of an interesting story as Notre Dame has been, it seems like the game itself is probably a little bit of a referendum on Ohio State.
Yeah, I think that's true. What do you think if there's a referendum or if there's a big picture takeaway or anything that, I know it's 1 year, so it's hard to do too much, but what do you think that the way the playoff has played out and the two teams that we have in the final, in the championship game, says about the state of college football?
Well, it just sort of says it's a sport like the rest of the sports now, where weird stuff happens in postseasons for the most part. And I don't know what you do about that. And the truth is, the games have turned out. I mean, I know the first round games weren't very good, but they've kind of gotten better as they've gone along, the Georgia loss notwithstanding. I mean, the games have been fine, but the postseason is just different from the regular season. And that's hard for us who are college football fans, because our regular season has always been the best regular season. I don't think this year's regular season suffered because of the expanded playoff. I think it made for plenty of interesting games. But when you say, well, these, I mean, some people might say this, these are the wrong two teams because, you know, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois or Ohio State lost to Michigan. I really don't know what you do about that, because every sport that has a playoff has some version of randomness that creeps in because of that playoff, because the short season is just so different than the longer season.
I know what you do. You beat them. If you don't think they deserve to be there, then beat them.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fair.
Yeah.
And you're never going to play a full, like, round robin against everybody.
No,
so this is the sort of best that we have. And college football now just more closely resembles what the other sports sort of look like.
If you make the championship game in a 12-team playoff,
you deserve it.
You deserve to be there. I know people want to nitpick and all that, but
I do agree with
you. You don't want them there, then beat them. Brandon, thank you. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, B.
Hey, y'all enjoy it, and we'll talk soon.
Brandon Adams there, Dog Nation Daily. Follow him on Dog Nation Daily. Follow him at Dog Nation Daily on Twitter. We'll be right back with an AMA. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are wide open, but they don't have to be. It's up to you. You can fill them up with incredible questions that we'll answer to the best of our ability. Coming up next, 404-726-0929, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Me anything.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart. RightFromTheHeart.org, the AMA, to wrap the show up every single day. We got full phone lines, which we appreciate it. But we got extra time for the AMA than we used to. So we'll get through all these phone calls probably. And then you can call and you can get on as well, 404-726-0929. So we'll start with Mike, who's in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
Man, what's up, my fellas?
Hey, Mike.
Friday, I came to work at 4:30 for the airport. I knew we shouldn't have did it, but long story short, Randy, you remember back in the day in the 80s, the BMX bike might get you a gooseneck seat on it, the pegs,
yeah.
All that.
Yes.
That was the go-to.
Yes.
Man, I'm coming up 85 North just before Claremont, and I see a black dude. He looked like he probably in his mid-20s. He digging on 85 North before Claremont. I say, man, that grandma got something mean, brother. What got you out here on this highway, man? So my question is, what y'all think he's doing? It had to be the cookie box for me, man. I'm going to hang up and listen.
It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible. I don't know. I mean, what would possess you to ride a bike on the highway?
I don't know.
It's the quickest route.
I guess, that's what I'm assuming.
From point A to point B.
Get your ass ran over,
it's
man.
Not the safest route.
Well, I mean, last I want to do is be on a Huffy riding down 85.
No,
right, pedaling down 85.
No, it's also illegal. Like you're not allowed to do
on,
that.
On a damn Huffy.
They'll come pull you over. Yeah, you can't ride a bicycle on an interstate.
I would think not.
I could be wrong about it, but I think you're not supposed to do that. Then you know, sometimes you'll get off on like little highways or whatever and people will be riding bikes in the country, but 85 on the connector?
On the connector?
Nah, you're not supposed to have a bike on there.
You got a Huffy on a connector, huh?
What's the most ill-advised place you ever took your bike?
Come on, man. I was a demon. I was
sure.
A damn
yeah,
devil. I was a daredevil.
That's who I'm asking.
I mean, like taking it on a... You know, I'm not going to tell my business like that. I was a damn... Yeah, you hurt my mom?
Yeah,
a menace.
I know.
Yeah, I was a menace, dude. Let's just say that. Let's say it involved the popo.
Oh, it did? Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cops will pull you over on a bike. You know you're not supposed to ride a bike drunk. You can get a DUI.
They know that. But I'm serious. If you can get a ticket for walking drunk, why can't you get one riding a bike drunk?
Yeah, exactly. Drunk in public.
Yeah.
I borrowed my roommate's bike in college one time, pretty drunk. Decided I was going to ride it to a party that wasn't that far away, but I don't want to walk there.
Please tell me you didn't get a ticket.
I didn't know, but I wrecked it. I didn't know that it was you ever heard of like a fixed gear bicycle to where like that's how you brake? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Never been on one of those before. Mm-hmm. Started going downhill.
It tore his bike up.
And the wheels just started going like that. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So I just rode it and, you know.
Yeah, we've been fighting.
Hit a fence, ran. And no, the bike was okay. I wrecked the bike, but I didn't like hurt the bike.
Oh, okay.
I just wrecked it. I hit a fence, like a picket fence, and flew over the top of it. But that was where the party was. Like, so I was at my destination. So it worked out. All right. Rich is in Alpharetta. Hey, Rich.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Rich.
So I got two questions. One easy one. When it's all said and done and the confetti falling, who do y'all see holding the trophy in the end of football season?
Okay.
And number two, I don't know how we got into this conversation last night with me and my partners, but I personally don't think Batman is a superhero. What makes a superhero? I think you have to have powers. Well, I think Batman is just a vigilante with a whole lot of bread.
Oh, okay.
All right, so
hold on.
Okay.
What was his name again?
That's Rich. That was Rich.
Rich. You just pissed off Bo.
Yeah, so I think maybe Bo,
yeah, Bo is very,
handle that one.
Bo is very upset right now. very, very upset about that. I think Ohio State wins.
I think he meant in the NFL.
Oh, NFL? Give me Baltimore, man.
Yeah.
Give me Baltimore.
I love that
pick.
Yeah,
Baltimore.
I love that pick. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the Chiefs. I think they're going to win
the
Super Bowl.
Okay, so now Bo is very upset.
Yeah. That was the unimportant one.
And I wholeheartedly agree with him.
You're with the listener?
Yes.
You think Batman's a fraud?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
This is good.
Yes, I do.
Bo?
I do. So I didn't say he wasn't a hero.
Right. Okay, I went too far with the fraud.
Yeah, I didn't say he was a hero.
I went too far.
Okay, I didn't
say
that.
But he's not a superhero.
But he's not a superhero.
Why is he not a superhero? Because of powers? He beat Superman in a fight. You realize this, right? So the guy that beat Superman in a fight is not a superhero?
How did he beat Superman in a fight?
He had freaking gauntlets made out of kryptonite.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
So he had something made to beat him. He couldn't just beat him with his own powers.
It's true.
He's a superhero. He does super things. Oh, no.
Oh, boy. That was well argued by Randy.
I'm just scared. Hey, Whatever, brother, I'm always on your side, Bo. Always on your side, dog.
Is Batman your favorite superhero?
Yeah.
It is, okay.
No, did you not see how hot he got?
No, I did.
Yeah.
But I also knew
100%
that.
100% a superhero.
I knew that Bo felt that way, so I knew when the listener set asked that question.
Bo,
that
Bo got so mad.
You know who else is superheroes?
Who's it?
Firefighters.
You damn right.
Damn right. Right. Teachers.
You damn
exactly
right.
Exactly right. First responders. Yeah. No, not all of them. There's some bad teachers. There are. There's some really good ones, but there's some bad ones, too.
I mean, freaky now.
Yeah, there's also some freaky teachers.
Yeah.
There were some freaky. I mean, the most famous freaky teacher was when I was in school in Seattle. Mary Kay Letourneau.
Oh, she from there?
Yeah, she started the whole thing. She was the pioneer of getting freaky.
Some may also say that money is indeed a superpower.
Oh, where the hell are we going, man?
Here we go. Can I tell you a Mary Kay Letourneau story? May she rest in peace, by the way. She's passed away. But she went to jail for statutory rape because she got pregnant from that from that kid. She got out of jail one time on like a, I don't know what it was.
Furlough or something.
And then she got caught in the car with him, so she had to go back to jail.
Yeah.
And then she finally got out of jail.
They got married,
didn't they? They got married,
yeah.
And he was a DJ. Like, he would perform at clubs around town. And I was at a club one time that he was DJing at, and she'd be there, like, dancing along. Like, it was part of the thing. Like, if you got the flyer to the show that he was DJing at, it'd be like, and Mary Kay Letourneau will be there, too.
But, I mean, she's a selling point.
It's not, she was the draw. I just think he missed an opportunity. Like, his DJ name was something lame. It was like DJ, you know, whatever. Like, DJ Techno or some lame DJ thing. He could have really made a joke.
Leaned into that.
DJ Statutory or something like that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Leaned into it.
Brandon's in Kennesaw. Hey, Brandon.
Leaned.
What's going on, guys? Appreciate the time. I think I got the answer from the first caller. The reason why he's riding a Huff bike on the interstate, I think it's called meth. But besides that.
It's called what?
Meth.
Oh, meth.
Good guess. Besides that, man. My question is for you guys, if money was not an issue, what would be your dream purchase? If money was not an issue, what would be your dream purchase? I appreciate you guys. Have a good one, ladies.
A team?
Yeah.
My sports team.
Yeah, the Dolphins?
Yeah, by the Dolphins or something like that, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's a great answer because I guess money's not an issue.
Yes.
You buy anything you want.
Yes, I buy a team.
Just like a functioning golf course, like an actual country club or something that I own, and it's maintained beautifully, and it's somewhere really nice.
Right,
and nobody gets to play it but me and whoever I invite.
I would want
you guys come out.
I would want mine in Hawaii.
Sure,
yeah, golf course in Hawaii.
That's a great option.
Hell yeah,
it's a great place. Yeah, yeah, the beautiful scenery, golf course.
Yeah.
That's what I would want. Somewhere where there's water and all that. Zach is in Gwinnett. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Zach.
So with this knucklehead Eagles fan.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, you know, like, what's the minimum? Like, what's the line that somebody would have to say to, like, make you go from walking away to, like, stepping up to the dude? And, like, going off of that, how do you think Rocky handled the situation when Clubber Lang was trying to holler at Adrian at the statue unveiling? Did he do that right, or would you have done it different?
Oh, no.
Thank you, Zach.
They had to hold Rocky back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you won't find a bigger Rocky fan than me. I love that damn movie. And that is one of my favorite scenes ever. Because when Mr. T comes around at the exit, hey, woman.
he was trying to get a rise out of Rocky.
He said, why don't you bring your little stuff? Why don't you bring your pretty little stuff down my apartment? And the greatest line ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I don't, you know what? Because that stuff like that doesn't happen to me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that just does not happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I know my fuse, especially when it comes to my woman.
Right.
Yes.
That's the thing. Like the answer's different depending on the – like, with my wife,
yes.
If someone was to say something to her, the line is a lot shorter than to me.
Yes.
Like, I'll put up with a lot more garbage that you say to me.
I'm not going
to
do that.
That I'm going to put up with her or my kids or something like that.
But
I don't know.
That doesn't –
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. But, like, we were in the Philippines, and we were going to the car, and this dude had his suitcase and, like, bumped my wife's suitcase in the suitcase, and he just kept walking. So I ran the old boy down, hey, you want to apologize? He didn't know what he did, but I don't give a damn. That's my woman. I felt like you hurt my woman.
Sure.
So you know what his ass did? We're not going to apologize.
Yeah.
But like I said, that stuff don't happen to me. So I can always say what I would do.
You can run up and make guys apologize when you're 6'4".
But
when you're 5'8", it doesn't work so well.
I don't give a damn.
When was the last time you got an apology?
I always look at things from my standpoint. People are like, well, you think you can beat everybody? It ain't about beating everybody, but You mean tell me that you ain't going to fight somebody that disrespect your woman?
Absolutely, yeah. 100%.
That's what you're supposed to do. I'm not going to purposely. I would never purposely disrespect anybody.
Yeah.
That's just not my thing.
I'm also not walking around looking for a fight.
Exactly.
But if that happens.
That happens.
I'll tell you what I wouldn't be doing. I wouldn't be filming it and putting it on the internet like the guy did. That is what happened in this situation.
Yes.
The reason why. Now, I guess his long play was, I'll video it, put it on the internet, and he'll lose everything, which, you know, pretty tactical, I guess. But, no, I would probably just would have hit the guy in the face as hard as I could. Right in the nose.
But I would think what most men, if somebody's going to do that to your woman, you might lose the damn fight.
You might.
You might. But
you got to try.
You got to try.
Yeah.
Because she's going to look at you differently. I don't care.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay.
That's the thing. Like, somebody does that and you don't do anything about it.
Like, she's going to look at you differently. Hey, woman, she's looking at her man real different right now.
What's different?
I don't care. You're going to tell me all that.
Don't feel as protected as maybe I once did.
No, you always defend your damn woman. If not, why she your woman?
Ham is in Hampton. Hey, Ham.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's happening?
Hey.
So, I got a question for you both, and then I got a quick thing for Randy.
Sure.
So, the first question I got is, like, with this unisex stuff, like unisex cologne.
Okay.
You know, my wife bought me some cologne, and it was, like, unisex. I was like, don't buy me that.
Exactly.
I'm a man.
Exactly.
I don't want nothing to say it's for him.
Yes.
Because if it's for me, it don't have to say it's for
exactly.
him. I'm old.
Exactly. Exactly, man.
If it's Versace, just say it's Versace, it's say Versace.
Yes.
You know, if it's Polo, it's say Polo.
Yes.
I don't, some of that for her stuff might get mixed in with that for him, and I don't want to confuse nobody.
I got you. I feel you, Ham. I feel you, Ham.
Number one.
Yes.
And number two.
Yes.
And number two, Randy, is this, man. You know, I'm the youngest of five boys, right?
Uh-huh.
And so it was a blue plaid shirt in the family. And I got one brother that's 7 years older than me. I got another brother that's 4 years older than me. And we all took a picture in that same shirt when we was in the 10th grade.
I love it.
Y'all guys have a good one, man.
I love
all
it.
Right, Ham.
I love it. Oh,
excellent call.
That is the pass down.
Excellent
line.
Call.
That is so true.
Oh, yeah.
That's so true.
No, we had that. There's pictures of my family where, like, and I was the oldest.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough to get it first usually.
Yeah.
I'd have, like, a winter coat. And then a few years later, Ryan would have a winter coat. And then Cole was way younger than us, so he'd have a raggedy-ass winter coat.
Yeah, man. Hey, dog. Hey, if you got, I'm just telling you, that hand-me-down, it's just what it is.
It's great.
It is what it is.
It's nice to have older siblings.
But that was the
again,
thing,
easy
like,
for me to say, being the older
but
sibling.
But me being the older cousin, being in the league, like, passing my little cousins down all the
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, they were pumped.
Barely reward.
They were pumped.
And everything, Jordan, and all that stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm with you on the cologne. If it say cool water, it better say cool water for men. I don't do that. Yeah, it's just I'm so with him on that. Now I'm so with you on that. So with you on that.
Like, what is it? They make unisex cologne?
I don't know.
I didn't know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, but again, if that's what you like, I'm not saying. I always speak for myself.
Sure.
I don't like to smell like fruits. Okay. I don't like to smell like something that has sugar in it. Okay.
Or, you mean or, like actual or like eating fruit
or baking or strawberry mist? I don't like smelling like that. All right. Now, people who do, that's on you, brother.
Yeah. Now, I'm a fan of lavender.
I don't want to smell like it.
I love smelling like lavender.
I don't want to smell like no damn lavender.
I catch a whiff of myself, and I'm like, ooh. That's
most fruity I'll ever smell like is that old-ass cocoa butter.
Coconut or fruit?
Coconut butter lotion. I wear that old school that you get at the hair store.
Or is it a nut?
I don't know. That's all I wear, but I don't want another stuff.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I want another stuff.
Fair
that's
enough.
It. That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
You like smelling like lavender.
I don't mind.
I don't like
smelling. I like how it smells. Yeah. What's good takeaways of the day?
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day, every day, Randy.
Every kid likes rainbows, I guess. And all I can think about that word is douche.
Fiduciary.
Yeah.
Fiduciary. Yeah. Financial responsibility.
Yeah.
Randy was a menace as a young boy.
Yep.
He was a menace.
Yes.
To society. Great movie. You never know somebody's side hustle. Maybe Wink can dance. And y'all better not be talking about the Brotherhood.
No, not the Brotherhood.
Oh, Falcons' next offensive coordinator better look something like John Freeman.
That was the greatest line
better.
Ever.
Better. Better. You don't need any young. We tried them, okay?
Yeah, we tried all these young hot shots.
Young hot shot defensive coordinators. Give me an old grouch, okay?
They don't want to. That
you're an old grump.
That when he comes on the morning shift with Squidbilly, and even Squidbilly's like this guy.
Give me an old guy that definitely doesn't want anything unisex. Okay, that's what we want with our defensive coordinator. All right, Dukes and Bell are next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 11:00.